Hi, good afternoon everyone, and welcome to the Fulbright webinar presentation today. This is one of a series of webinars on a multitude of themes, and today's presentation will feature opportunities in the field of education and TAFL. My name is Afrodita Krasnici, and I'm an outreach and recruitment analyst. I work on the Fulbright Youth Scholar program here at IIE, and I'm joined here by my colleague Peter Rauchi. Peter, you want to say hello?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. My name is Peter Rauchi. I'm an outreach and recruitment specialist at the Institute of International Education. We're delighted to have you today.
Thank you, Peter. So today we'll be walking you through the Fulbright opportunities in education and TAFL. While we hope to answer many questions during the webinar, there will also be time for a question and answer period at the end, of which point you can submit your questions, or throughout the presentation you can submit by typing in the questions on the question box on your screen. We will also record this webinar and we'll post it on our website within 5 business days. Thank you very much. So we can talk today. The presentation overview is that we will begin with a brief history of the Fulbright program. We will follow it with an overview of awards available in the field of education and TAFL. And we'll go through tips on submitting a competitive application, and also answer any questions you will have at the end of the webinar. We'd like to start out with a brief history of the Fulbright program for those of you who are not familiar. The Fulbright program began in the years after the Second World War at the initiative of the senator from Arkansas, J. William Fulbright. His political career over the 30 years of the U.S. Congress was marked by his tenure as the longest-serving chairman of the Senate on Foreign Relations Committee. Basically, the program was established in 1946, and it was the main goal was to send U.S. academics and professionals overseas and bring scholars and professionals from abroad to the U.S. And this has been continuing for 72 years now. The program is funded by the U.S. Department of State Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and it is administered here in the U.S. by us, by the Institute of International Education, whereas we work closely together with Fulbright commissions overseas, as well as U.S. embassies or posts when there is no commission. So the program has had a long and successful history of promoting cooperation among government, higher education, and private sector institutions to increase mutual understanding and address critical global issues. So as you can see here, we have a picture from the very beginning when we had a Fulbrighter in Burma, and also we can see another picture, recent picture of a Fulbright Arctic scholar. So our grantees represent a diversity of American academia coming from hundreds of institutions. This includes community colleges, minority-serving institutions, liberal arts colleges, major research universities, labs, and other institutes. So they come from every state and the District of Columbia, from all levels and ranks of academia and the professional world.
If I may add to that, Afrodita, the history of the Fulbright program is actually incredibly interesting, but it also resonates with what makes a strong application today and throughout the history of the program. So understanding that the goal of increasing mutual understanding between people of the United States and other countries, understanding that as a Fulbrighter you are an ambassador, helps you craft a stronger application. We absolutely want to support groundbreaking teaching and research projects, but you have to understand the foundation of the program and the goal of the program, of that person-to-person diplomacy, and speak to those expected outcomes and what you hope to get out of the grant, and how it's a good idea for the U.S., how it's a good idea for your host country, how it's a good idea for your home institution and your host institution and all stakeholders involved, and that, yes, you are an ambassador as a Fulbright. So that's really important to underscore, and that's why we always like to unpack that and address that at the beginning of our presentation.
Thank you, Peter. That is very important to keep in mind as you craft your application. So if we may continue to talk about the Fulbright in numbers and what that means. Since the first participants of the Fulbright program went overseas in 1948, The Fulbright program has provided since then over 380,000 participants chosen for their academic merit and leadership potential, with opportunities to exchange ideas and contribute solutions to international concerns. Currently, the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program operates in approximately 160 countries worldwide. Fulbright alumni have achieved distinction in a variety of fields, and approximately 84 alumni have received Pulitzer Prizes, and over 59 Fulbright alums have been awarded the Nobel Prize. So this is, you enter a very important network, a very prestigious network, a big family of Fulbright. And if you're selected to do a Fulbright program, you certainly it would be a step for you to getting one of these awards. Who knows? Maybe even the Nobel Prize. So that's a good way to an enhanced way in your career. If we can talk about the eligibility for the Fulbright program, first of all, at the time of the application, there are several items of eligibility that must be met. First and foremost, U.S. citizenship is required. Permanent resident status is not accepted for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. For some awards, a PhD or equivalent professional or terminal degree, such as an ED, may be required. The award description will indicate if substantial professional experience is acceptable without the terminal degree. So just pay attention to those requirements. If you are a current student or recently completed your undergraduate degree, you are welcome to continue listening, but I would encourage you to look into the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, because that is something more appropriate for the students. And we have the Fulbright Student Program website, which is us.fulbrightonline.org. If you are proposing to teach, then relevant college or university teaching experience at the level and in the field of your proposed teaching activity is required. Again, requirements on specific award may be found in the award description. I also wanted to bring to you the attention to new policies for Fulbright Scholar alumni, which call for a 2-year waiting period between grants. So in addition, preference will be given to candidates who have not previously held a Fulbright Scholar grant. And if you are an alum, it is important to provide compelling justification for an additional grant, including demonstrating your accomplishments from your previous grant and how it helped you and how you plan to submit another competitive application based on that. What is the core Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program? It offers approximately about 800 teaching and or research grants to U.S. faculty and experienced professionals. We have grants available in approximately 125 countries, ranging from 2 to 12 months in duration, including the option for flexible grant scheduling. The program is open to all disciplines, and the applicant must propose a project fitting the parameters given by the award. Just try to pay attention to other requirements again. Eligible host locations will be listed on each of the awards and are typically higher education institutions, but can also include government agencies, even museums, NGOs, and so on. You may apply to one award for a competition cycle, and this is the competition cycle 2019-2020 we're talking about, and the deadline for application is August 1st this year. So why are we encouraging applications today from those scholars in education and TEFL? And why we should consider a Fulbright grant to teach or research in your field? For one reason, the discipline of education above practically every other field advances the Fulbright program's goal of mutual understanding and especially addresses the program's expectations of long-term and sustained impact. Education is an important field to the Department of State and partner agencies abroad. So just keep this in mind as you're crafting your application, as we will see there are explicit requests for experts in teacher training and curriculum evaluation and special education, to name some, with the understanding that this kind of investment shapes policy and develops leaders and works in tandem to achieve country priorities. Proposing a Fulbright project in education specifically is also useful for examining your work and discipline from a global perspective and comparing previous research you might have done to a new context. It also extends the chance of embarking on new directions for your teaching or research. Here we've listed some specializations that filter through the award advertised in our catalog of awards, but this is no means exhaustive. There are more opportunities. If you specialize in literacy or music education, for example, you're certainly welcome to and encouraged to apply. So there are like some award highlights, like if you're looking, for example, into Europe, we just wanted to highlight, for example, Kosovo as a new country, which has a discipline-specific award in higher education that is open to academics and higher education administrators only. It's an opportunity to partner with the Ministry of Education, Science and Technology at the Department of Education in Kosovo and serve as a professional advisor and researcher at the ministry with occasional lecture and seminars. This is quite a high profile position at the ministry. The ministry in particular is seeking a scholar who can help in reorganizing and profiling of new institutions in Kosovo, as well as assist with the establishment of the State Examination Agency for Regulation Professions. So this is quite an impact you would be making if you decide to apply and get selected for this particular award. This appointment would be for 3 months, and language proficiency is sufficient to complete the proposed project. It is required, but you would definitely need to make sure that this project would be feasible by, for example, if you would need translators to help you complete your project. And another example in education is Hungary in Europe. Teach undergrad or graduate courses in one or more of the areas of specializations. Participate in curriculum and program development and offer consultations for students and staff as requested. So there will be opportunities for collaborative research, and there are so many variety fields of disciplines or specializations that are preferred, like special needs education, special education for children, adolescents with autism, Asperger syndrome, special education for children and with specific learning disabilities. So you can check all this information. And Peter, I would like to invite you, if you want to talk a little bit about Kazakhstan, they have this opportunity for teaching English as a foreign language.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Afrodita. And that's a great general sort of orientation in what's some of the things that we have on offer in the field of TEFL and education at large. So we can see in Kazakhstan and Mexico, there are specific awards that are titled Teaching English as a Foreign Language. But then there are also many all-disciplines awards that are open to all disciplines, or may have a series of preferred disciplines, but that you can focus a project in one of the specializations within education or one of the specializations within teaching English as a foreign language. So if we look specifically at the Kazakhstan award, we're going to see, we'll have, you're going to see a very particular kind of award that is focused on teaching English as a foreign language. And the award specifically allows for projects that involve just teaching or a combination of teaching and research. And this is a 5-month grant or a 10-month grant. You're proposing something that's either 5 or 10 months because you're going to be teaching, so you want to fit into the academic calendar of the host institution in Kazakhstan. This award also offers a flex grant, meaning that you're able to segment your activity so that you don't necessarily have to be away for the entire length of time of the grant. You may be able to segment your grant into multiple visits. Mexico also has a TEFL award, an award featured specifically that centers around the teaching of English as a foreign language. And as we'll see, the award parameters can be very different award to award. So you'll see awards like that are literally titled Teaching English as a Foreign Language, or you'll see All Disciplines Awards. So you'll want to explore the award parameters and see what's on offer, see what the award is hoping to accomplish, and you know what the profile of the applicant is sought for in the award. Specifically for the Mexico Teaching English as a Foreign Language Award, this award is a 3 to 9 month grant, and it similarly to the Kazakhstan award supports projects that involve either just teaching or a combination of teaching and research. Unique to the Mexico TEFL award, though, this is a placed program, meaning that COMEX, the Fulbright Commission in Mexico, will actually place you in an appropriate location in Mexico for this award. In your application, you're absolutely able to indicate your preferences, what type of students you'd like to teach, or the kind of institution that you'd like to be placed at. But this is unique to this award. Mexico will actually place you in an appropriate institution for this award. So as we'll see as we go through the catalog of awards, and I'm actually going to demonstrate the catalog of awards and where you can find information around award parameters, you'll see that awards are very, very particular, and the parameters for one award may be very different from another. In terms of TEFL, and I speak about TEFL or TESOL or however you refer to the discipline, with lots of experience, because for a decade I placed foreign Fulbrights in the U.S. in the fields of TESOL, TEFL, Applied Linguistics. I'm delighted to work with U.S. Applicants on projects in TEFL, so absolutely happy to see that there is, you know, again, speaking to the diplomacy aspect of Fulbright, you know, we send scholars and students abroad, but we also bring in scholars and students to the U.S. And in TEFL, there are many countries that offer awards specific to TEFL or that prefer teaching English projects. This graphic here is not exhaustive, but you can see there are opportunities in Jordan and Turkey and Mexico, Estonia, and many, many other countries that either specifically seek projects in TEFL or can support them. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to pause the PowerPoint for just a second so I can actually show you the catalog of awards. I think the catalog of awards is actually one of our most powerful tools to get information, and it's really helpful when you're searching for awards to understand exactly what the award is looking for, and also understanding how you can how you fit into what the award is looking for, both in terms of the profile and then also in terms of what the project you're proposing. So our catalog of awards is awards.cies.org, and this is our front page. There are some very, very broad search functions at the front page. You can search by region, you can search by country, and you can search by discipline, and in very broad categories of disciplines. But what I like to do is search all awards, because that opens our catalog up. You see we have 470 awards available globally. And once you open that search all awards function, you can see that there are more enhanced search functions. On the left side of our catalog, you can see the different search functions. You can search by keyword, you can search by region, again, you can search by country by typing in the country. You can search if an award features a multi-country aspect. Most of our awards are to go to one country, but about a dozen of our 471 awards feature multi-country opportunities. You can search by discipline again, and this is very, very broad. So we have disciplines such as education, which includes all specializations within education, but because TEFL is a focal point for many awards, we also break that out as a separate specialization for our discipline search. You can search by activity. So you can search I'm getting a little scroll happy, excuse me. You can search by activity, so you can see if the award features projects that are a professional project, a seminar, a teaching award, a research award or a combination teaching and research. You can search by grant length, so you can see if something offers a flex grant, for example, or you can search grants that are particular time periods. You can search by degree requirement. So many of our awards require a PhD or other terminal degree, but many of them don't. You can search by category. Is it a Distinguished Chair Award? Is it open to folks early in their career or their postdoctoral awards that pertain to what you're interested in? You can search by professional profile. Is it open to academics or is it open to folks who are practitioners outside of academia? Then finally, you can search by invitation letter. So you can search to see if an invitation letter is required, if it's strongly preferred, all the way up to if an invitation letter should not be sought. And there are many awards that don't require an invitation letter and specifically tell you not to. Many of our awards, though, do require them, and then every iteration in between. So what I'd like to do is just demo the catalog a little bit. Say you know you want to work on a project. Say you want to work in, you want to focus on your project in TEFL, and you want to work in the Western Hemisphere. And I work very closely with the Western Hemisphere, so I know that that is an area of focus for the West Hem. So I'm going to pull up what we have on offer in the Western Hemisphere that either features or supports TEFL. So you'll see that there are all disciplines awards in Costa Rica, in the Dominican Republic, in Guatemala. There's a specific TEFL award in Mexico. There's a Science, Tech, and Education award in Panama. And then there, after the sort of main search, there are all disciplines awards in the Western Hemisphere where you could focus on your particular interest in TEFL, and you may be able to propose a teaching English project in some of these awards. Let's look at two different kinds of awards, though, just to give you a sense of, you know, some of the things you want to look at. So let's open that TEFL award in Mexico. So when we open the award, we see that we get four tabs. We get the award details, award requirements, award benefits, and a country overview. We see that this award offers five grants, meaning that that up to five folks can be funded under this particular award. When we say award, we refer to an opportunity. When we refer to grants, we mean an instance of that opportunity. So for this award, there are five grants, meaning that up to five people can be funded for this award. Brazil has an all-disciplines award where up to 30 people will be funded. But you'll also find awards that offer only one or two grants, meaning that there are fewer opportunities under a particular award. So for the TEFL Award in Mexico, we see some insight into the grant activity. So it's really about capacity building in English language programs in Mexican institutions. And there are particular specializations listed under the grant activity. We see that this is a 3 to 9 month grant, and full academic grants are preferred for this. Again, because it's capacity building oriented, really, you know, a full academic year grant is something that the country prefers. For this award, this is a place program. You should not seek a letter of invitation, but you should be open to going where the need is the greatest. This is a great award if you have a general interest in teaching English in Mexico, but you're not really sure where you want to go. The commission in Mexico, COMEXIS, will actually place you. So in your proposal, you'll want to talk about the kinds of the institutions and the kinds of students that you're interested in working with, and Mexico will work on a placement with you. There is not a flex option for this award, meaning that you have to be away for the full 3 to 9 months of the award, and they're looking for specific interest in education, linguistics, and TEFL. Then beyond that, we see some additional insight into the specializations particular to this award, so writing across the curriculum, computer-assisted language learning, English for special purposes. These are all aspects of specializations that this award is particularly focused on. Then there are some information about around special features to the award. But let's look in other tabs of the award. Under award requirements, we see that a letter of invitation should not be sought. That means that you shouldn't seek a letter of invitation. Again, this is a placed award, meaning that Mexico will actually place you depending on, you know, the profile that you write and your interest. For this award, advanced Spanish fluency is recommended. You have to submit a language proficiency report with this award. That's an aspect of this application. In depending on the country that you go to, there may or may not be particular language requirements. If there are, this will be spelled out in the award requirements tab of the award description. It is very common in the Western Hemisphere to require Spanish, French, Portuguese, Dutch, Haitian, Creole, depending on the country, and we'll specify the level. For the professional profile for this award, we're open to academics, but also qualified folks outside of academics. Then there are additional links that may be helpful for when you're doing research, links to universities in Mexico, links to the Fulbright Commission in Mexico, COMEXIS, that can give you some background information about just how this program fits into the Fulbright program in general. Under award benefits, we see a sort of ballpark idea of the kind of award support that you could be afforded on this grant. We don't confer actual grant amounts until we actually confer the grant, but this is a good idea. We also see some special award benefits. So particular to the Western Hemisphere, we see that scholars who are in the Western Hemisphere are able to apply to additional funding to travel to another West Hem country. So there are a number of participating countries in this travel grant that you apply to. And while you're in Mexico, you could go to another West Hem country for a short-term visit. So something like a seminar, a conference, something of that nature, a short-term visit. We had a grantee from Canada go to Uruguay for a short-term visit on the travel grant. So this is a special feature to the Western Hemisphere. Then the last screen we see is a country area overview, which gives a great idea of how the country fits into the Fulbright program. So it's giving you general information, but also information specific to how the country has worked with the Fulbright program. And we even, for this award, we list a contact at COMEXIS, Jackal Tanelorn, my colleague, who is happy to talk to applicants to Mexico about this award and other awards. Mexico does have a travel warning advisory, so certain states of Mexico are more or less accommodating to Fulbright grant proposals. That's something that is addressed in our award descriptions, but in this case, if you have questions about a particular institution in Mexico or a particular area in Mexico, that's something that you might want to ask the Fulbright Commission. Our colleague Jackal Tanelorn, and his email is actually linked in the award description. So things of that nature. There's a lot of really helpful information in the award description. You'll also see my contact information. I manage this outreach for this award. I'm happy to speak with applicants for this award, and absolutely feel free to reach out to me at westhem@iie.org if you have questions about some of the nuances. What does fluent Spanish actually mean? How can I strategize my application? I'm very, very happy to speak with you. And every award will have a staff member attached to it to help you with any questions that you have. Let's look at a different kind of award. Let's look at an all disciplines award. So we looked at the very, very focused award in Mexico focused on teaching English as a foreign language. Let's look at the All Disciplines Award in the Dominican Republic. So this is a different profile of award. This is an award that is all disciplines, and it's the parameters are much, much more open. So for this award, the activities supported include teaching, research, or a combination of teaching and research. For this award, there is a flex option, so it's a 4 to 9 month grant, but you're able to segment the grant if you're interested in doing that. That's something that you would propose. This award is open to a wide variety of disciplines, but as we can see, TEFL and education are priorities for this award, meaning that these are preferred disciplines. Even though it's an all disciplines award, and you could absolutely, propose a project in the arts, for example, or in, a STEM field, for example, education and TEFL are preferred disciplines among the other expressed preferred disciplines in this award. We see for this award, there are approximately 2 grants available, meaning that approximately 2 folks can be funded under this award, and a PhD terminal degree is not required for this award. for this award, so if you recall, the Mexico Award was a placed award where the Fulbright Commission will actually place you in an institution. This award actually requires you to proactively get a letter of invitation. For this award, advanced Spanish is required, and again, you'll have to submit a language proficiency report for this award. If you don't have a contact in the Dominican Republic, we actually have some great resources for you. So we have the email addresses of our colleagues in the U.S. Embassy, but we also have some identified institutions in the Dominican Republic that have either hosted Fulbrighters or have expressed interest in hosting Fulbrighters to the U.S. Embassy. And for DR, for the Dominican Republic, we actually have contact information for some of these institutions. So for the Madre Maestra Pontifical Catholic University, we have a contact for the particular department that's focused on Caribbean studies or finance or linguistics, education. For the Ibero-American University, we also have a contact. You can see that there's a lot of information and potential host information in the Dominican Republic written into the award description. So if you don't have a contact in DR, but you're interested in a project in DR, there are resources available to you. You'll also see, again, I'll just briefly gloss over this a little bit, but you'll see that there are different stipend amounts, different award aspects under award benefits, depending on the country, depending on the award, and this is a great way to get information around, you know, an idea of what you could receive on this grant. But as we see also the Dominican Republic, you're open to the travel grant for the Western Hemisphere. So that's a great feature that's particular to the Western Hemisphere. And then again, under the country area overview, you'll get a sense of how the country works with the Fulbright program. So the catalog of awards, you can see, is a very useful tool. There are lots and different awards criteria that for which you can search for awards. Say you wanted to focus on a TEFL award, but you're not up for a sabbatical, for example. So you want to see any TEFL award in the world, for example, that offers a flex grant. So you'll check TEFL, then under grant length, you'll indicate flex, and let's search awards. So boom, we see 12 awards that either feature or support projects in TEFL that offer flex grants. And we see Armenia, Belarus, Azerbaijan, here Dominican Republic comes up again, the Palestinian territories, Honduras, Panama, Uruguay, Morocco. You see there's a lot that you can get into by doing some great searches and sort of playing around with the catalog of awards. And I want to encourage folks to play with the catalog of awards and see if there are any, you know, parameters of interest, and that will help you actually find information about awards. So let's go back to the PowerPoint.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. That was very useful and demonstration of the catalog of the awards. So we really would like you to use our resources. When you go to the catalog of awards, we have also Fulbright directory, the alumni directory, where you can have access to the previous Fulbrighters. And in addition to learning about all these opportunities, there are, you know, just wanted to highlight a number of ways how you can determine or begin determining the country and what type of project to apply for. So we would like you to just think about, reflect a little bit on your existing network. Start with education associations you're a member of and whose conferences you attended, and what are the issues that are being discussed, and who is leading the research internationally, and what's going on in the host countries, in different countries. What are your home institutions' connections throughout the study abroad or other exchanges? So if you have like an existing collaboration with international research partners, think about that. So start, you know, thinking about the people you know and how you would like to explore these opportunities and submit a competitive application. So again, another great resource is the Fulbright Scholar Directory that lists also the visiting scholars, which is the international Fulbrighters and also the U.S. Fulbrighters. And especially if you're interested to know where did the past scholars go and what fields and what they have done, you will be able to search by field and view alumni profiles, including their project titles, host institutions, and grant activities. So this is just to help you get an idea of which institutions have hosted scholars in the past. And alumni can also serve as an excellent resource for questions about their grant experience. So here we've just listed some ideas and projects and host institutions so that you can consider for your application.
And then just for some more inspiration, we want to highlight a few awards just to give you some general information. And I hope that the catalog demonstration showed you where you can find some of this information. But in Poland, we have a Distinguished Chair Award in Humanities and Social Sciences at the Adam Mickiewicz University. This is open to academics, and it supports teaching, research, or a combination, a 3 to 9 month grant. Teaching for in terms of language requirements, all teaching will be done in English. But if you're proposing a research project, your Polish language needs to be up to the ability to carry out your proposed research project. And for this award, a letter of invitation is required. In Finland, we have the Tampere University of Technology Scholar Award, and this is a great opportunity to affiliate with Tampere University in Finland. This award is open to academics and folks who are qualified practitioners. It's a 3 to 10 month grant. Teaching is conducted in English, and an invitation letter is optional, but keeping in mind that you would be at Tampere University, a great opportunity to conduct a project in Finland. In terms of discipline highlights, we have for Algeria, again, we see the two awards we've highlighted here are very focused on teaching English as a foreign language. So in Algeria, we have a TEFL Applied Linguistics Award open to all scholars, including folks earlier on in their careers. This award supports only projects in teaching. So if you're not interested, if you want to do research, this is not the award for you. But if you're interested in teaching, this is a great opportunity to consider. It's a 10-month grant, and an invitation letter is preferred. So it's not required, but it is preferred. For Jordan, similarly, we have the TEFL Award. This is open to folks, including folks early on in their careers. It's only focused on teaching, so no research on this award. A 6 to 8 month grant. An invitation letter for this is also preferred, and English is the language of instruction for this award. Additional highlights in the Czech Republic, we have the Fulbright Masaryk Award and NGO Management Award. This is focused on projects that feature either teaching and research or just research, a three to nine month grant, open to folks, all level of scholars, including folks early on in their career. A letter of invitation is preferred. Then in Argentina, we have Social Sciences and Humanities. So this is another award. It's kind of similar to an All Disciplines Award, but it's a little bit more focused. Argentina has a STEM-oriented award and also a Social Sciences Humanities Award that, you know, folks in the fields of education and TEFL might be more interested in the Social Sciences and Humanities Award, depending on your specialization within education. This award in Argentina supports either just teaching or a combination of teaching and research. It's a 3 month grant, and an invitation letter is required. So the application is nothing you haven't seen. It's a very straightforward application. It features an application form. There's a project statement where you're really outlining what you're hoping to accomplish in the Fulbright program. And I'll talk a little bit about the project statement in an upcoming slide. We'll want a CV or resume anywhere. The CVs are 6 pages, but if you're applying for a Distinguished Chair Award, we'll take up to 8 pages. So again, anywhere from 6 to 8 pages, depending on the award. We'll want 3 letters of reference. If you're applying for an award that features teaching, you really want one of the 3 letters of reference to come from someone that can speak to your capacity as an instructor. Then, depending on the award, there are also some additional baseline application components. So if you're applying for an award that features teaching, we'll want course outlines or syllabi. 2 to 3 syllabi, up to 10 pages. They can be classes you have taught, classes that you hope to teach. But we really want to get a sense of who you are as an instructor. We want to get a sense of your pedagogy. And, you know, using syllabi as an example of something that you would produce as a teacher. If your project involves research, we'll want a bibliography. We refer to it as a bibliography, but what you can think of it as a literature review. So this is a 3-page document of literature, of research that is relevant to your topic. We want to get a sense that you know the relevant research for your topic. This can be annotated. It does not have to be. If you're applying for an award that requires proficiency in a language that is not English, we will actually spell that out in the award description. And there's a language proficiency report. This is a 2-phase report. There's a self-evaluation, and then there's an external evaluation. So the external evaluator should be someone who's qualified to teach that language, like a language professor, the head of a language department, etc. A very straightforward aspect, but if your award requires a certain level of a language that is not English, that's part of your application. As we saw, there's a wide variety of awards in terms of requirements around letters of invitation. Some awards require it, some prefer it, some specifically tell you not to seek a letter of invitation, as was the case with the Mexico TEFL award. So that'll be written into the award description. As we saw, though, with the award to the Dominican Republic, it's quite common to see that there are resources written into the award description if you don't have contacts in a particular country that may be able to help you get a letter of affiliation or make a connection with an institution overseas. Sometimes it's the Fulbright Commission, sometimes it's the U.S. Embassy, sometimes there are even, as is the case with the Dominican Republic, there are actual universities with contact information for those universities written into the award description. At a very bare minimum, there is always an IIE staff member attached to the award, so if you're ever lost, you're not sure where to start, or you're confused by some nuance, absolutely reach out to us. If you're applying for an award, or if you're applying for a project that is in a discipline that typically includes work samples such as the arts, architecture, writing, journalism, there's space for you to upload work samples as well into the application. Submitting a competitive application, that's really something I want to focus on a little bit. I definitely want to take time for questions, and please chat in questions as we go. But let's spend a little bit of time talking about what makes a competitive application. So why are you interested in the Fulbright program, and why are you interested in this particular host country? Do you fit the parameters of the award? Is your professional profile congruent with what the award is seeking? Is your project something that resonates with the country? And you can tell if it does in many cases because it's written into the award description. So obviously if you have done work in applied linguistics or ESL, TESOL, TEFL, an award that is focused on TEFL is absolutely interested in that kind of work. So you want to understand how you fit into the award parameters, both in terms of your profile, but also in terms of the proposed project that you're putting into the application. But also, I want to go back to something that we said very early in the presentation about the sort of DNA of the Fulbright program being all about diplomacy and really increasing mutual understanding between people of the United States and other countries. That's so key to the Fulbright program, and that's what really, really helps make a strong application. So really, the proposal statement, which should resonate with every other aspect of the application, it's really your opportunity in the project statement to speak to what you want to do, how you hope to accomplish it, and what are the expected outcomes of the work that you're proposing. I won't belabor this slide too much other than to say that applying for a Fulbright Scholar Award, you are absolutely not alone. We have lots and lots of digital resources. Our website has so many resources. We break down the application, different application components. We have guidance around project statements, CVs, syllabi, the bibliography. We even give sample project statements. There's a whole series of webinars focused on regions or disciplines or specific countries in many cases. The Fulbright Scholar blog is a great way to get insight and inspiration to see what folks have done on their Fulbright. What was it like to take your family to a particular country, or what was it like to do research in a particular lab? There's a lot in the Scholar blog for you to get inspiration from. Our network, My Fulbright, is a great way to indicate your interest with us. You can segment your interest based on country, based on discipline and other criteria, so that you can receive targeted messaging from us around opportunities. Let's talk a little bit about our review process and timeline, and I want to encourage folks to continue chatting in questions. We will get to your questions in just a second, but I want to go through our timeline just to help give you a sense of what you can expect as being reviewed. So our deadline is August 1st. So you submit your application on August 1st, and then we receive your applications. We do a technical screen, and then your applications, any applications that are technically eligible, will move on to what we refer to as peer review. So peer review includes a committee that's focused on your discipline, and then a separate committee that's focused on either the country or the region to which you are applying. That should tell you that in your proposal statement, which is a five-page document, you have to write to different audiences. So you have to write to folks that are experts in your discipline, but you also have to write to generalists who are experts in the country but may not know everything about your particular specialization in education or TEFL or whatever the case may be. We let you know if you've made it through peer review generally between November and January, and we let you know if you made it through peer review generally in November, December or so. After peer review, your applications go to the countries themselves, and then final approvals are made by the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. We notify our grantees generally anywhere between February and May, and grant activity can start as early as June as of the following year from the application deadline, depending on the award parameters. So before I take questions, and I want to encourage everyone to chat in questions as we go, I want to encourage you to stay in touch with us. You can email us, or My Fulbright is our network, CIES2.org. So that is, again, you're able to join My Fulbright and indicate your interest based on country, based on discipline or other criteria. You can visit our website. We have a referral program where you can actually refer your colleagues, depending on what, you may have colleagues that may be interested in Fulbright. There's a way for you to refer them. We have lots of presence on social media, so we're on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. What we will do is, after this webinar is archived, we will send all these digital resources to everyone who registered for this webinar. So don't feel that you need to take notes. We will send all of our online resources, including this PowerPoint deck, to everyone who registered for the webinar. So at this point, I'd like to take just a few seconds so that Aphrodita and I can answer some questions that have been chatted in, but we also want to encourage folks to chat in questions if you haven't done so already. Okay, great. We have a great question around letters of reference. So who should I ask for a letter of reference? Is there a preferred profile of someone writing a letter of reference? The profile of who your referees are, who should write your letters of reference? This is a great question, and we're sort of purposely vague about this because we want the three best advocates for you. We want the people that can best speak to your project and how it fits into the Fulbright program. So generally, these are colleagues if you do have a host in, home institution, rather, in the United States, it's quite common that you'll have at least one of the three letters coming from someone at your home institution in the U.S. If your project includes teaching, you'll definitely want to have one of your three letters of reference involve be written by someone who could speak to your capacity as an instructor. So that's really key. We want to get a sense of who you are as a teacher, and have someone sort of give a sense of your pedagogy, how you are as an instructor. But other than that, they should be three strong advocates for you. Obviously, they can't be a relative. And then one other parameter is that the person who is hosting you in the host country, that person should not write one of the three letters of reference themselves. You can have someone else from the host institution write a letter of reference, but your actual host faculty member should not write your letter of reference. We have a question, again, this is something that comes up. I think it's pretty common. Folks have questions around letters of invitation. What do I do if I don't have a contact in the country? Should I have a letter of invitation if the award doesn't require one? So as you saw in our catalog of awards, there's a whole variety of awards requirements around letters of invitation. Many awards require letters of invitation, and as we saw in the catalog of awards, we saw that there, is quite frequently some resource made public to you, whether it be the Fulbright Commission or the U.S. Embassy, or even as the case in the Dominican Republic, we saw the award offered particular contacts at particular universities. So it's really, there's a variety of requirements, but there are a lot of resources around letters of invitation. And again, at the very bare minimum, we have staff attached to every award. So absolutely feel free to reach out to us if you're stuck, if you don't know where to start. We have some general guidance, rather, on letters of invitation on our website, but there are some nuances depending on the country, depending on the award to letters of invitation. Absolutely reach out to us if you have questions around those nuances. So at this point, we have time for a few more questions. We're just going to scroll through to see if we have any other questions that we haven't answered yet. We've been trying to chat in answers individually, but we encourage folks to continue chatting in questions as we go. We're just going to scroll through for just a second. This is a great question. We have a question about dual citizenship. So this, are you eligible to apply if you are a dual citizen of that particular country? This is going to vary very, very greatly depending on the award, depending on the country. Some awards absolutely forbid dual nationals of that country to apply for the award or even for the country at large. Others are neutral, and others are, they're completely fine with it. In Jamaica, for example, this is a great example. Jamaica, dual nationals, so dual U.S. Jamaican citizens, they're able to actually work in Jamaica, the Fulbright, and apply for a sort of a work permission much easier than if you didn't have dual citizenship with Jamaica. So that's something that, there's a wide variety of parameters around dual citizens, and it will depend greatly on the country or the award.
We do have another question. If I'm allowed to apply to more than one awards, so if you want to cover that, Peter, as well.
Sure, that comes up. And the short answer is no, you're not. You must apply to only one award per competition. There's a longer answer, though. So in our application, you're actually able to indicate in one section and only one section of the application that you are interested in other awards should you not be competitive or considered for the particular award that you're applying for. you can do that. And it does happen in some cases. That being said, you really should not write your proposal so that it could go, you know, in this country or that country. You really want to write a very focused application for the particular award that you're applying to, and then in that one part of our application, and only that one part, you should, you can indicate if you're interested in other awards or other countries, but you shouldn't write a sort of, you shouldn't write an application that could be read one way or the other. At my college, sabbatical applications are due in January for the following academic year. What exactly will I know about the status of my Fulbright at that time? Generally, in January, you will know if you've made it through peer review, meaning the first phase of review that includes the discipline review and the country review. After peer review, though, your application goes to the countries, and then the final decisions are made by the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board anywhere between February and May. So you won't have a final decision. We work with over 125 different countries, and there isn't sort of one date where all decisions are made. The countries sort of roll out decisions, on different schedules. If you are in a position where you're having to make decisions and you're not really sure the status of your grant, we can't give you answers until the countries and the Fulbright Board have made final decisions. But you know, we welcome you to reach out to us if you have questions or if there's anything we can tell you in the meantime. We're happy to let you know. But in general, in January, after the deadline of the year you've applied, you would at least know if you've made it through peer review or not. At this point, we have time for one more question, so we don't have any other questions, but if someone wants to chat in a question right before the top of the hour, we're happy to answer it. Otherwise, I do encourage you to stay in touch with us. You can visit our website, you can email us, interact with us on social media. It doesn't look like we have any further questions, so I do want to thank everyone for joining us today. I want to thank my colleague, Aphrodita Krasnichi, as well.
Thank you, Peter. This was, I hope it was very useful for you guys, and looking forward to hearing from you. And if you have any questions, I work on the Europe and Eurasia region. Please reach out to europeeurasia@iie.org if you have any questions about Europe.
Sure, and similarly, westhem@iie.org, or any of the other regions if you're interested in particular regions, but also please feel free to reach out to us directly. Well, thanks everyone. Thanks everyone. We really enjoyed presenting this webinar. I hope it was helpful, and we hope to receive your applications really soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a great day.